بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الاجرين بهم تولى ومن اعدائهم تولى الى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى ابائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسلمه مملكة الله وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Just again some reminders on Ahkam. Yesterday we talked about wuzu, that when it comes to wuzu, it is that intention you have to have, and that is qurbatan ila Allah, and then that water has to be tahir, has to be pure, has to be lawful. The place where you perform this wuzu has to be right, and the atmosphere wherein this water is going to drop and pour down, that also has to be lawful and legal, meaning not ghasli. And then it was mentioned that when you come wash your face, and then you wash your right hand, that is from your elbow to the tip of your fingers, and then your left hand. And then your left hand, from your elbow to your fingertips, and then you put the mass of your head, and then the mass of your feet. That was the wuzu. And when we said it has to be from your elbow to your fingertips, it means that it has to go from your elbow all the way down. And the sleeves are tight, you need to roll them up, and that elbow has to be open for you to pour that water on it so that that wuzu is right. And if there are a lot of bangles in your hands, again you have to be very careful that that water has to reach the skin. So do it in a way that the water is applied onto the skin. And if it is tough for you to remove the bangles, for example, then you can take a jug of water, a glass of water, and pour it from your elbow, it would come down. Or you can take your hand and wash it under the tap. Or take the shower hose and then wash it, wash your right hand under that. That too is possible. So this is regarding the wuzu. Zain, can you go on? Thank you. Now, again, there are certain circumstances when ghusl becomes wajib on an individual. That is, may that be for the ladies in those specific days, or may that be as a result of a relationship, physical relationship. So when ghusl becomes wajib on an individual, he has or she has to perform that ghusl. Intention again, same, qurbatan ila Allah. And if someone does perform a ghusl which is wajib on him, then he doesn't need to have a second wuzu for his prayers. That would be sufficient. The ruling of all of the mujtahideen present today is that when you perform your ghusl, it's your head and neck you have to wash. That is the entire head and the neck. You have to wash it. You can use the shower. You can use a bucket. And there is this strong interpretation that you have to pour water on your head with a jug. That is not necessary. If you have it, you do it. If you don't have it, you can use the shower. With that shower again, that ghusl can be done. So the head and the neck has to be washed first. When you wash your head and neck, take a little bit of your chest, your back and your shoulders so that you are certain that head and neck has been washed. So, if there is anything on the face, on the skin, that has to be removed first. If there is any najasat, that najasat has to be removed first, and then you start your ghusl qurbatan ila Allah. So after washing your head and neck, is your right side, that is the right side of the body, front and back, all the way from the neck to the feet, and under the feet again, has to be washed. So when you wash the right side, don't be very precise, only take a little bit of the left so that you are certain you have washed your right side. And once you've done the right side, you wash your left side again. And for that also, when you're washing your left side, take a little bit of the right so that you are certain that you have washed your left side again. So left side, hands, legs, back, stomach, all of that has to be washed. So that way, once you've done that also, that you will be tahir, and namaz can be offered, and you can touch Quran, you can enter the mosque with that ghusl that has been done. Thank you. And someone who hasn't done his ghusl, he cannot enter a mosque, a place of worship, cannot touch Quran, cannot recite those surahs in which there is this wajib sajda, so cannot even offer his prayers. And if he has entered his fast without performing that ghusl, knowingly that fast also is batil, and that multiple compound kafara, the atonement, will apply to this person. So ghusl is batil. So if, for example, someone does his ghusl, and after his ghusl finds out that, for example, the forehead, there was something stuck on it which did not allow the water to reach the skin. Here, what you do is that you wash your forehead which wasn't washed, and then right and left side has to be washed again. If after your ghusl you find out that there was something on the left hand or the left foot which did not allow water to reach the skin or the nails, here you just remove it and wash your hand, and that's it. You don't need to repeat that whole ghusl all over again. So whatever is lacking from the body needs to be washed. If it's the right side, then you just wash the right side, and then the left side, and then it's done. So when we say right and left, even under the feet has had to be washed, both the right and the left. So with that, that ghusl is done. With this ghusl again, it is wajib, and all the other mustahab aghsal that we have, they are performed in the same way. First head and the neck, then the right side, and then the left side. So the ghusl.
There are two questions. First, what happens inside the nose? Do you have all the wasps?
Inside the nose, inside the ears, it's not wajib. But you just, when you are washing your head and the neck, just wipe your ears, that should be sufficient. Inside the nose, inside the mouth, is not wajib.
One more question. You said that the stripping, everything that is removed, suppose that someone has a wound which can be removed.
Yes.
So what happens in that sense?
Okay. Before ghusl, najasat has to be removed. But if a person has a wound on his face, on his body, wherever. So over there, the rules of jabira, they apply. Means that emergency rules for wuzu and ghusl, they apply. If that wound can be cleaned, then you have to clean it. And if water can be applied, you have to apply onto it. If the wound is such that applying water on it is going to make it more najis because there's so much blood in it, or water is harmful on that. For example, if there's a wound in my hand, the safest way is that if that wound cannot be opened, if that bandage cannot be removed, you take this cling film, I don't know what you call it here in America, so that cling film, you take it, you just wrap that cling film on that wound, on that dressing, and then you perform your wuzu as normal. So that way, your wuzu is right. And if you want to be on the safe side, do a tayammum after that. Do a tayammum after that just to be safe. And tayammum also was mentioned how it has to be done. So that is the easiest way. Use that plastic wrapper or that cling film, and do your wuzu as regular. So that is the wuzu, which is known as jabira, or the emergency ghusl and wuzu. Someone. Tomorrow, by the grace of Allah, we thank Him for giving us this blessing of life and allowing us to be in His presence in this sacred month, and to witness the Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. One night better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months means 84 years. That is, if someone works in these few hours, that is from his maghrib up to his fajr, which is about 8 hours. If we were sincere, good in these 8 hours, we can go ahead as much as 84 years. Laylatul Qadr, we don't know which one it is. Again, that is a suspense. It is either the night of the 19th, night of the 21st, or the night of the 23rd. It's one of the three. And the strongest possibilities are in the third one, which is the night of the 23rd. There are reports which say that it's the night of the 27th. There have been some noble. What they used to do is that they used to observe each night of the entire year as Laylatul Qadr, so that definitely they have perceived and witnessed that one night. Now, we don't want to do all that. It's just these three nights that we have, and if we try our best to observe these three nights in the best possible way, so that the pleasure of Allah is sought. Now, all that is done in this, it turns back to ourselves. It is us who benefit from these nights. So, one night equal to 84 years. And there is not a lot to be done in it. Just sincere and good intentions, being a good servant of Allah. And there are some ahkam that have to be observed. Among them is ghusl, Laylatul Qadr, all three of them. When you come with a ghusl done, and how it is to be done, Zain just showed you. And that is how that ghusl has to be done. Intention will be qurbatan ila Allah. And again, after that ghusl, you have to perform a wuzu. A wuzu is required. The other thing is that because tomorrow night is the night of the when Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is wounded, it's the night of azab, night of mourning. So the presence over here should be different. Try to come in black, all of you, so that we also show that whole atmosphere of mourning to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Try to bring a Qur'an if there are many mu'mineen, and then if you do need a Qur'an, then you have your own. And try to have a little nap during the day, so that you don't get tired during the night. We also try to be as brief as it is possible, and at the same time, cover as much as it is possible. When it comes to Laylatul Qadr, it is among those beautiful occasions which were given only to Rasulullah. Rasulullah says that this night, which is the night of Qadr, wherein Quran was revealed, wherein a person, he can jump 84 years ahead, wherein the destiny of this individual is written, is checked, is signed, is dispatched, all that is in that one night. Your life, your sustenance, debts, births, marriages, schools, colleges, shifa, cure, who is going to live how long, jobs, funds, money, everything can be sought in this one night. We present it before the existence of Allah. He sends it to the Prophet. He, because today, the Imam of time, and there he checks it and then certifies it and dispatches it. One of the riwayah, they say that on the 19th of this sacred month, that is month of Ramadan, the report is from our sixth Imam, Salih alayhi salam, he says that taqdeer, that is the a'mal, whatever your wishes and desires are, they are measured on the 19th, and then well, Ibram on the 21st. Ibram means they are packed and they are measured on the packed and checked on the 21st. And then says well, Imla. Imla means dispatched. They are dispatched on the 23rd. So as much as we want, we can ask Allah in these three nights, and all of that inshallah will be granted and given to us. So Laylatul Qadr is among those special bonuses that was given to Rasulullah and to no one else. In one of these ahadith of Qudsiyya, now quote is from the Prophet, he says that Prophet Musa, he communicates with Allah and says, Ilahi uridu qurbak, that Allah, I want to get close to you. I want to seek your nearness. He says, Qala qurbi liman istayqadha laylatal qadr, that is, if you want to seek my nearness, be awake. When? In laylatal qadr. Don't sleep. Just a few hours, keep up. Don't. Now, laylatal qadr was not given to Prophet Musa. So all these are those temptations that are created for Prophet Musa so that he also loves more this laylatul qadr. And then says, Ilahi, uridu rahmatak, that God, I want your mercy. He says, Rahmati, liman rahimal masakeen, laylat feeman, that is, whosoever has mercy on the destitute, on the poor, on the needy, on laylatul qadr, his mercy also will be on that individual. Says, Ilahi uridu al-jawaz ala sirat, Allah, grant me that permit so that I cross and I pass that sirat, which is that bridge in the hereafter. Says, dhalika liman tasaddaqa bisadaqatin fi laylatil qadr. Says, whosoever wants that permit, give something as a charity on laylatil qadr. Again, this is another bonus. We did talk on this issue in the last khutbah of Friday, that if you were to give some charity, Imam says that if it is a Thursday, hold on to it. Don't give it out on Thursday. Hold on to it. Pay it on Friday so that you get a double bonus, a double share of reward. Again, it's the same thing over here. Tomorrow is a good opportunity that if you want to donate for this noble cause, which is this center, which is organizing all these wonderful programs, tomorrow is the night that whatsoever you give for this noble cause, it will multiply, according to some riwayat, by 700. According to some others, it's much more, that is, Allah, He Himself can count. So, tomorrow is a good opportunity that if you do want to help and donate, do it tomorrow night, which is the first Laylatul Qadr. And then says, Ilahi, uridu min ashjar al-jannah, I want the trees of the paradise and the fruit. Then says, Dharika min liman sabbaha tasbiha fi laylatul qadr. That is, whosoever glorifies and recites these tasbihah, he will be blessed with that. And that is when we do that on laylatul qadr. Tasbihah, it would be subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar. Whatever you want, you can recite. And you will be blessed with those blessings of the hereafter. When Rasulullah, he ascends to the heavens, there he says that I saw Jibreel was showing everything to me. Says, I see that there are some angels, they are making a palace. They lay a block and then they sit down. And after a while they lay another block. Rasulullah says, why are they so lazy, for example? Why don't they quickly make whatever they are making? Why are they holding and halting and then laying another brick? Jibreel then says that this house that you see, this palace that you see, belongs to such and such a mu'min who is in dunya. The moment he recites subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar, one brick is made over there. So, as if the building material, the construction material for our own houses in the heavens, it is being sent from this dunya. If we send it quickly and much more, it will be built even quicker. So, here says that you will recite those tasbihah and you will be blessed with all those blessings in the hereafter. Says, Ilahi uridu najat min al-nar, I want salvation from the fire. Says, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ اِسْتَغْفَرَ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that is, you ask Allah to forgive you, you repent in that لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, and that salvation will be granted to you. And finally, Prophet Musa says, إِلَهِ أُرِيدُ رِضَاكَ, I want you to be pleased with me, I want your pleasure. Here, the Almighty says, رِضَايَ لِمَنْ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that my pleasure will be given to someone who just offers a 2-rakat prayer on Laylatul Qadr. So it's a huge, big bonus, a great night, a night of Adama, when Allah says that just by reciting that 2-rakat prayer with sincere intentions and ikhlas, a person can benefit from the prayer of Hajj. And inshallah, I'll talk on this a little bit more tomorrow. So it's a very great night which is fast approaching, for which so much of emphasis is given in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. So much so that we find that Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha on this night of Qadr, that is, if it was tomorrow night, and she puts her children to sleep during the day, that is, Imamain and Humamain, Hassanain alayhi wasalam, she puts them to sleep during the day, so that they rest and they are awake during the night, because the night is great. So, that again, so that we relax and rest during the day, we benefit during the night. Or, for example, again, we find that in Surah Al-Qadr, says that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, that is, تَنَزَّلُ in Arabic means they descend, that is, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, the angels and the spirits descend. So it means there is a continuity in that تَنَزَّلُ. Doesn't say that they descended. So if they descend, where do they descend? During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Whenever the first two khalifas, they came to the Prophet, Rasulullah, he recited Suratul Qadr. And every time he recited, it was in a very sad tone. Then they said that, why do you recite this Suratul Qadr and in this sad way? Then he says in reply that it is for what I have seen and what this heart of mine has perceived. And then Ali al-Mu'min also was present in that majlis and says, what will be seen by Ali after me? That is the reason I recite Surah Al-Qadr. And then they say that, what is the reason? Rasulullah recites that ayah, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. He says, where do the angels descend today? They say, upon you, Ya Rasulullah. Then Rasulullah says, okay, after me, because death is haq, everyone has to die. After me, upon whom will these angels descend? And upon whom will the spirit descend? And before whom will these taqdeerah, the measures and the destiny be presented? They say, we don't know, Ya Rasulullah. Then Rasulullah, he stands up, holds Amir al-Mu'mineen by his head, and then says, after me, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, is going to be upon Ali. That is, the angels, they will descend upon him. The destiny of everyone will be presented before him, and it is he who has to attest, and it is he who has to sign and then dispatch all that. And after Amir al-Mu'mineen, today is the pure heart of the Imam of Time, Imam al-Asr, So angels, they descend from the Imam. That is why we are said that this night of Qadr, now again to keep in your mind, the English translations that you find for Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, is not right. Night of power is degrading that Laylatul Qadr. Night, if you just say Laylatul Qadr, is that great night. Night of power is not right. Qadr is from the miqdar, meaning measure, meaning the destiny it is presented, and that is written and certified. So on this great night, Quran is revealed, is that night of wilayat, is that night of Amir al-Mu'mineen, night of Imam al-Asr, night of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam, and in that hadith we find that our sixth Imam, he says that whosoever perceives Zahra has indeed perceived Laylatul Qadr. That is, you come to know Ahlul Bayt and you know Zahra, you have witnessed Laylatul Qadr itself. Or elsewhere says that إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, say that we have revealed it in Laylatul Qadr. Imam says that Laylatul Qadr is Zahra. So it's a great night. So we have to prepare ourselves from tonight so that we are better people from tomorrow and we can benefit a lot. One of the names that are given to the sacred month of meanings of the sacred month of Ramadan, Ramadan is the name of Allah. And that is why the teaching that has been taught to us is that you never say Ramadan, say the month of Ramadan, say the blessed month, or say Ramadan al-Mubarak, or say Maah al-Mubarak, etc. Never say Ramadan. Don't say Ramadan came, don't say Ramadan ended. That is disobedience. That is showing disrespect to Allah. It's the month of Allah, host is Allah, and the feast has been made by Him. And that says that the reason why it is known as the month of Ramadan is the month wherein your sins they shed. And if someone wasn't lucky enough to have his sins and wrong shed in this month, that is an unlucky person. Or elsewhere, the Holy Prophet, he says that when someone asked him that, Ya Rasulullah, what do I do in this Laylatul Qadr? What do I ask for? Rasulullah says, Al-Afiyah, Al-Afiyah, repeats it. Afiyah means a good end. That is, if you ask Al-Afiyah from Allah, for a good end from Allah, that good livelihood in this dunya and in the hereafter also will be granted to you. So that is the first and the foremost thing we have in mind, that we ask Allah for us, the sins and the wrong that we have done, all of that to be shed and to be removed from our existence. And the moment we have all that wrong removed, we have turned back to our default settings, and that is all pure. As it was mentioned yesterday, that التَّيِّبَاتُمْ لِلْتَيِّبِينَ وَالْتَيِّبُونَ لِلْتَيِّبَاتُ Good are for the good. So when we put all that wrong shedded away, and then there is nothing wrong which exists in us, it means that automatically we are clung to all those tayyibat and to all that goodness in the hereafter and to Allah Jalla Ma'ala. So when we ask for that afiyah, it means everything else is sought. Or for example, when we recite this dua in Quran, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Marhum Mahwani says that, do you know what is the meaning of this hasana? We say hasana means good. So what is that good we ask from Allah? Is there anything specific? He says that, Rabbana, O God, give us hasana, good in this dunya, means hasana is Fatima. That is, Allah, give us Fatima in this dunya and give us Fatima in the hereafter. And if that is granted to us, everything else is given to us. Rather, us running around, beating around the bush and asking for little things, that is good. But if we go and catch that the greatest blessing of Allah, and that is the presence of Hazrat Zahra, Salamullahi alayhi. Or elsewhere, regarding the importance of this night of Qadr, the Holy Prophet, he says that, on this night of Qadr, Shaytan, he doesn't come out. That is, he is, when for the month of Ramadan, in that khutbah, the Prophet says that he is in chains. He doesn't have that free access in this month. On this night of Qadr, again, that access is much more limited for Shaytan. And that limited access is from that Maghrib, that is tomorrow Maghrib, until the Fajr. So, unless a person has committed a sin, says so long as that sin hasn't taken place, then all of that you will be benefiting much more from the sacred month, and in particular the sacred night of Ramadan. So, don't lose hope, again to myself first, and that is to have the highest hopes, and the first and the foremost thing that we ask Allah is afiyah. And then we ask Allah for the safe return, for the well-being of the Imam of time. And no matter how much wrong we may have had committed during our life, Allah's mercy is much greater. He forgives. I'll quote another hadith here so that we get an idea of how much Allah is merciful, how much compassionate He is. And on this topic of tawbah, inshallah, we'll touch in the forthcoming months. Quoting from our eighth Imam, and that is during the time of Harun, one of the governors of Harun, he invites one of his other friends. Now all these are Muslims living in that period, in that time. He said that he invited me, I went to his house, and it was the month of Ramadan, and it wasn't Maghrib yet. And then he says that it was an hour, for example, before Maghrib, I come to him, and I see that there is a food laid, and there are all these different types of food that are laid, and he is eating. Once he was healthy, he was not a musafir. And I told him, why are you eating? Are you not fasting? You are not a musafir, you are not a traveler. No, you are in a bad shape, your health is also good. And then he says that the sins that I have committed, whether I fast, whether I worship or not, is going to be of no use. Punishment from Allah for me is certain. And then he says, listen to my story. Says once Harun, he called me to his palace, to his office. And he said, tell me, you as my governor, how much sincere are you to me? He says, whatsoever you tell me, I'll do. Your commands I'll carry them out. And then he says, Harun was quiet and I came out. I wasn't out of his office that he called me once again. He says, tell me how much obedient are you to me, how much sincere are you? He says, all my wealth will be yours. My children will be sacrificed to you, my family as well. Whatsoever you do, I'll do. You say, I'll do. Harun doesn't reply. Once again, when he's coming out of his office for the third time, he invites, he says, come and tell me how much can you serve me? How much are you obedient to me? Now the governor says, even my faith, my deen also be given to you. Whatsoever you say, I will do. He says, that is something good. That is, your deen should be in my control. That is, no harams, no halals, no one, no bindings from a second authority should be on you, so that you could be a good servant for me. And that is why you find all these British empires and all these ruling great superpowers, the first thing they do, they come and attack the faith and the deen of Mu'mineen, so that is tarnished, that is broken down, so that people, they just get confused. All these different faiths and beliefs that we have worldwide, all designed and made by the British Empire, all of this is the same, because they know what to target and what to hit. Here Harun, he says, okay, that is something. Says, this is my slave, just follow him, whatever he says, do. He brings him to one of these cells, and there says, in that cell, there were 20 sadar, Alabi, and all of them, and he says that with all those long hair on their faces, it sounded as if they've been there for a very long time in those cells, in those prisons. He gives him a sword, and then says, instructions of Harun are that you behead all of them and dump them in that well, in that cell. He does it. 20 people killed. Takes him to another cell, there's Sadat Fatimi, the present. 20 again, all of them were killed, beheaded. And then takes him to another cell, 20 more Sadat. And then when he does the same job, 19 were killed and the 20th old man was about to be beheaded, that old man says to this governor, on the Day of Judgment tomorrow, what reply do you have for Zahra? What would you tell her? That why did you kill us, Zahra? He says that I heard what he said, killed him, and then came back. And that is what you see now. No matter I fast or whether I don't, punishment for me is certain. This message was given to the Imam, that this is what had happened, we saw him eating. In reply, Imam says that although he has committed those horrendous crimes, those great crimes, and someone who commits that many crimes doesn't get that tawfiq and opportunity to repent and do good. Imam says, had he repented, he is committing a greater sin, and that is losing hope. وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. That never lose hope. No matter how much wrong we may have had committed during our life, hope of Allah is much more. Our hope has to be that great. Mercy of Allah is much greater. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That is, the mercy of Allah, the compassion of Allah is greater than everything. So, no matter what we have done in the past, we come sincerely to the presence of Allah Jalla Wa'ala. We present ourselves before Him and ask Him to forgive us. That is afiyah. One more thing to bear in mind is that if there has been wrong done by us, we are not permitted to, it is haram, to tell that to someone, that these are the sins I have committed. Confession in Islam is haram. If you want to confess, only and only before Allah and no one else, no second person, no human being, we have no right to defame ourselves. This honor that Allah has given to us, as it was mentioned in those days, is أَعْظَمُ حُرُمَةً مِنَ الْكَعْبَةِ. That is, it is much greater than the honor that Allah has given to the Kaaba, that one moment. So we have no right to shatter our dignity before anyone, only before Allah. And that night, it's tomorrow night, and that is in the presence of Allah Jalla Wa'ala. May Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala, help us in the forthcoming nights. Help us seek His forgiveness. Help us repent before Him. May Allah Jalla Wa'ala hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah, and may He count us among His true servants and those who seek martyrdom in His service. The first and foremost wish that we have in these layali from Allah Jalla Wa'ala is the safe return of our Master. And if He comes back, everything else will be in order. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Just one quick announcement. I completely forgot to mention it, but it's one of the most important announcements is Jumatul Wida, the last Friday of Ramadan, is this year on the 26th of August. Not this Friday, a week from this Friday. We had a Yom al-Quds that we went out in downtown Los Angeles last year. This will be our second year of Yom al-Quds. We have to perform our fariza for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. So this year, Yom al-Quds will be at the federal building. There will be posters out in all of our centers in Los Angeles. All the Shia centers will get those posters, inshallah, by next week. And the details will be given out to you from here, inshallah, slowly and gradually from tomorrow onwards. There are a lot of details, timings, how are we going to get there, what's going to happen, the do list, do's and do nots. Listen to it carefully. Let's show our consolidated effort. Let's all get together, and go out there and show numbers, especially for Yom al-Quds. It is again August 26th, next Friday, and the details will follow. Once again, tomorrow we go back to the building where you park your cars. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad mutawajjih. السلام عليكم.